good to see you. Are you just about ready?
Good.
Very good. Yeah. All right. Good morning, everybody. This is the Wednesday, July 12th morning session of the Portland City Council. Welcome, everybody. Sue, could you please read the, or could you please call the roll?
Saltzman.
Here.
Udaly.
Here.
Fritz.
Here.
Fish. Wheeler.
Here. The purpose of council meetings is to do the city's business, including hearing from the community on issues of concern. In order for us to hear everyone and give everybody consideration of their matters before the Portland City Council, we must all endeavor to preserve order and decorum at these meetings. To make sure that the process is clear for everybody, I just want to review a couple of the basic rules and guidelines, which I hope will help everybody feel comfortable, heard, and respected, and to also maintain decorum in the council chamber. There's two opportunities for public participation, if you so choose. First, we have an opportunity for people to sign up in advance and speak briefly on any subject for which they'd like to do, to speak on. Second of all, people are allowed to sign up for public testimony on first readings of reports, resolutions, and ordinances. If you sign up, just to be clear, your testimony has to actually be relevant to the issue being discussed. Please state your name for the record. We don't need your address. If you're a lobbyist, we do require that you disclose that. If you're here representing an organization, it would be helpful to know that as well. Typically, people have up to 3 minutes to testify. Sometimes we have to change that due to time constraints. When you have 30 seconds left, the yellow light is going to light up on that little box in front of you. When your time is up, you're going to hear lots of annoying beeps. You'll know when your time is up. People who conduct that disrupts the meeting, for example, shouting or interrupting other people's testimony or interrupting council deliberations is not allowed. People who disrupt the meeting face ejection from the meeting. If there is a disruption, I will issue a warning that if any further disruption occurs, you could be asked to leave. If you are asked to leave and you choose not to do so, you're subject to arrest for trespassing. If people would like to show their support for what's being said, feel free to do a thumbs up or Sarah's got it right. What do you call that?
Twinkle fingers.
Twinkle fingers.
Jazz hands.
That works well. If you want to show your displeasure with me or anybody else, thumbs down is fine. Sarah's demonstrating again. Thank you. So with that, we will get to the first issue at hand, and that is communication. Susan, if you could call the first item up, please.
Item 782, request of Boo Rigney to address council regarding issues with transients along Hawthorne Boulevard.
Good morning.
Good morning.
and 784 are with her. I'll read those also.
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you.
783, request of John Light to address council regarding problem behaviors in Southeast Hawthorne area. 784, request of Sarah Balzer to address council regarding transients along Hawthorne Boulevard.
Thank you and good morning.
Good morning. I'm Boo Rigney and I own a business on Hawthorne Boulevard. We're here today because that we feel that we are under siege due to bad behaviors of individuals hanging out on our private properties and public sidewalks. We need more help from the Portland City government and police. I'd like to ask for a quick show of hands for those in the audience that are here today from our neighborhood. And also, is the slideshow, Sue, running on the screen? Thank you. I'm going to start with a brief video that will give you a good feel of what we deal with.
You bitch. Bitch. You sit down to that picture.
Snapchat.
You're lucky not getting a beer from me.
I might add this video is being taken by my friend here, Sarah Balzer, who's pregnant at the time.
Bitch in the house!
So what we're here to really describe to you, what we're coping with mainly, are the bad behaviors. People are openly drinking alcohol, taking drugs, smoking marijuana, blocking sidewalks for pedestrians, lying on our businesses, doorways and residents, and behaving aggressively when asked to move along, defecating and leaving trash behind on our properties. We as a group have come together quite a bit already to work together. We paid for private security. We're spending over $20,000 in 2017. Many individual businesses are also contributing and paying their own cleanup and security. We are constantly trying to get with Central Precinct and commissioners and, the mayor's office as well to have smaller meetings. As an example, I would like to state I just represent Ben & Jerry's. I own the Ben & Jerry's. I could be any business in many neighborhoods across the city. We're down $32,000 in 2016 over 2015 from this kind of behavior. And this year we expect to be down $60,000. Now this means that it affects our employees, and most of our employees being very young kids. And the residents here too believe that they're losing the walkability and the livability of their properties, and the values are clearly going down. Our main message is that our community and others around the city are becoming too dangerous and unpredictable to safely live in and run our businesses. We don't feel safe. City leaders and bureaus need to step up staffing and coordination in order to respond to the increase of bad behaviors of people in these public spaces. What we're asking for specifically is to get back the police walking patrols immediately. We're suffering right now, this year, tomorrow. And we're also looking forward to a bigger plan to fast-track recruitment of new police officers and other communities' outreach personnel who can have a daily presence with those folks out there. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Good morning.
Good morning. Hello, City Council Board members. Thank you for letting us be here today. My name is Sarah Balzer. I own a business at 35th and Hawthorne. I'm a board member of the Hawthorne Boulevard Business Association and am a homeowner in the Richmond neighborhood. Imagine walking down Hawthorne and you hear something from behind you. You see what looks like a gang of people ages 16 through 30 on the side of the street, and now you can make out what they're saying. Hey, yeah, you, cunt bitch, give me your money. Hey, you bitch, I know you have money. I take a photo and then they yell, I'm going to follow you home and beat you up. Better watch out, bitch. This was just 2 months ago when I was 7 months pregnant. Local businesses and employees have been threatened they're going to be raped by these individuals. They've witnessed them shooting up in the bushes, getting in knife fights, defecating on the sidewalk, yelling at senior citizens walking by, and yelling at children. Our safety is at risk. As a serious risk, and no one seems to be taking it seriously except for us. Back in 2013, a group of home and business owners got together and formed the Hawthorne Neighborhood Coalition. We brought these exact same issues to City Council, and they answered our pleas. They gave us a police walking patrol that split their days between downtown Portland and Hawthorne in the beginning of 2014, and guess what? It worked, and it worked really, really well. You didn't find one complaint on the boulevard. Everyone loved it. The walking police themselves, the business owners, the homeowners, tourists, and the individuals behaving badly. Police only wrote 24 citations that year, and everyone behaved themselves. It lasted through 2015 with a few cuts here and there, but kept working all the way until the leading officer of the patrol was honored by Vice President Joe Biden at the White House for how well it had worked. Then 4 months after he was honored, the program was cut. 2016 came and saw the bad behavior starting to trickle back in. 2017 hit, and we had break-in after break-in up and down Hawthorne, window smashing after window smashing, and sure enough, the bad behavior was back. Hawthorne businesses banded together, took money out of their own pockets, and hired a security patrol. But here's the thing. They're not police. They can't write tickets. So although they may make a dent, they're nowhere near as effective as an actual police officer. And until the police actually start writing tickets for these crimes, because as of right now they are not, the individuals breaking the law will have complete reign over Hawthorne, and we're officially out of options. We removed bike overhangs, removed bushes, watered down sidewalks, hired day and night security, met with local police and organizers, and yet still these individuals take advantage of our neighborhood. We're here to beg you to do something. Act. Save Hawthorne. Save your small businesses that support the Portland community. Save the neighborhoods that support your local schools, because it's only going to get worse if we've seen in the past. Here's a folder. I believe they've already passed them out to you. Of letters written by local residents and businesses and employees describing how they've witnessed threats. You need to read all of these. They are extremely shocking, more shocking than what I just read to you. Also in that folder is a letter of support from the Hawthorne Business Bureau Association for an actual police walking patrol. We came here asking for help and are providing real solutions that history has proven recently have worked. Please don't pass up this opportunity to help our community.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Good morning, sir.
Hello. My name is John Light, and I live in the Hawthorne neighborhood near Southeast Hawthorne 36th Street. This vibrant commercial and residential area has both a recent and longer history of public health and safety issues, as I think my neighbors here have demonstrated. From a resident's perspective, our neighborhood, like others around the city, is becoming too dangerous and unpredictable to safely live or run a business. People dread coming to work, residents don't feel safe, and their children are at risk. Businesses are losing money, and property values are being affected. Hawthorne residents and business people have come here today to say it's time for a new approach to address these problems realistically and resolutely. For starters, this approach would not blame the victims. We've been tutored on using 911 and police non-emergency, and there's now even a website for reporting anti-neighborhood activity. Yet our experience is we're usually on our own. Calls to non-emergency go unanswered. 911 calls draw inconsistent response and seldom lead to effective action. And other reporting methods are widely understood to be useless. Further, we are advised not to intervene ourselves for fear of reprisals. We cannot blame our police either. There are simply too few of them to do the job properly. This new approach we imagine might instead accept from the outset that our community problems are both difficult and real, requiring systematic, concerted, planned effort. Portland prides itself as a city that can do what other cities cannot, and we have the transportation system, bike friendliness, and so much more to prove it. We can do this. While we're certainly not going to propose a full plan in a 3-minute talk, this plan will have several obvious features. One, it's going to cost money, but think of it as an investment in our city's future, one that, moreover, can generate a model for other cities to follow. Two, fast-track recruitment of new police officers and other community outreach personnel who can have an immediate impact in our neighborhood and others. Three, move quickly to create at least temporary shelter and facilities available to anyone and make clear that they're to be used and that camping in city neighborhoods and parks is not acceptable. Four, improve city contact methods once we have an adequate number of responders in place. And finally, establish a committee to coordinate neighborhood problems and their solutions across city departments. In conclusion, there is no more fundamental goal of city government than supporting its communities and neighborhoods. Thank you.
Thank you. And since you have all three come to speak on this subject and you brought a lot of people, I will take the liberty of making a couple of comments. I don't typically do that because this is your time, but out of respect for your questions. Number one, I understand you are meeting with my staff soon. Is that correct? Good. So I'll look forward to your full set of proposals, and I appreciate not just complaining about the issue, but also coming forth with some concrete suggestions in terms of how we can address it. Number two, I completely understand and empathize with the concerns that you have raised. And the budget that we just passed reflects that concern. We are being compassionate with regard to our response to homelessness. We significantly increased resources for intervention, for housing support, mental health, and drug and alcohol addiction issues. but we also significantly increased the resources going towards what I would describe as livability issues, trash, litter, needle collection. As mayor and police commissioner, I have directed that we enforce local codes with regard to the sidewalks and with regard to the parks. We increase the number of park rangers available in the parks. And the way I see it is a balancing act. On one hand, we should be compassionate towards those who truly do need our help on the mental health side, on the addiction side, employment, rent support, whatever it takes to help get people off the street and keep them off the street. On the other hand, we have to enforce community expectations, standards, and the law. And I've made it very clear as the police commissioner that we will do that under my watch. Now, that being said, I also...
Mr. Mayor, may I just quickly say we agree with everything you've said.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And all of our discussions, basically, you're rephrasing what we've advocated.
So here's what I'm asking for. Number one, we will work with you on these issues. But number two, please understand this, as you said, sir, it is a very complex issue. It is a multifaceted issue, and there is no quick, easy solution. These are very serious societal problems. And I own, and we collectively own, the issues in our own community. But understand there are broader forces at work here: economic, addiction, mental health services.
A walking patrol would be an immediate.
And I support that. And to be clear, not only does this budget that we just passed support that, I've made it very, very clear that we will return to a full community policing model in this community, both to reduce crime and rebuild and repair that trust between our police bureau and the community that we serve. So I thank you for being here. Thank you for your forbearance and your understanding as we work together to address this issue.
Thanks looking forward to it, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Next item, please, Sue.
Item 785, request of Catherine Smith to address council regarding have the Portland police investigate the Tigard police. Catherine, are you here?
I don't think I saw her this morning.
Either.
Next item, please.
786, request of Sarah Hobbs to address council regarding suicide issues in the city.
Good morning,
sir. Could I have an extra minute or two if I need it? Between coming from home to here, my notebook was stolen, which means all the information I had planned on giving you all is now gone. I will bring that by to your offices sometime, either tomorrow or Friday.
Sorry to hear that. Thank you,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, I'm pretty upset at the moment. For the record, my name is Sarah Hobbs, and I am here today officially as an advocate for the Oregon State Chapter of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. As we look at the issues of suicide, both in the state of Oregon and the city of Portland, the statistics are very sobering. Statewide, suicide is the second leading cause of death, ages 15 to 34. Third leading cause of death, ages 10 to 14, 35 to 44. Fifth leading cause of death, ages 45 to 54. Seventh leading cause of death, ages 55 to 64. 14th leading cause of death, 65 and older. Five times as many people died due to suicide statewide than the homicide. And the state is 13 out of all 50 states in the nation for its extreme rate of suicide. Portland, as a city of all the cities in the nation, has historically been within the top 20. Contrary to popular belief, it is not due to our weather. Suicide goes up within the city late spring, early summer, with the biggest spike seen in the month of June. In 2015, the Portland Police Bureau's Enhanced Crisis Intervention Team responded to 1,200 suicide crisis calls just in 2015 alone. Six of those calls they deemed such extreme risk that they deferred them to the crisis negotiation team. One of those calls involved a suicidal man with a firearm. It was a call at Good Samaritan Hospital. I am very painfully aware of this call because it happened directly across the street from where I live. The past 30 years, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention has been the leading non-governmental organization addressing the issue of suicide, suicide prevention, suicide research. Our big fundraising event is our Out of the Darkness Walk, which is held this year, October 7th. I know you all said that you needed a formal invitation. Well, unfortunately, those invitations went missing. My notebook got stolen, but I can bring them to you. In 2016, the foundation awarded $1.4 million for suicide prevention research. We were very excited that out of 17 funded grants, one of those went to OHSU to fund a research study that was done in conjunction with the VA to better identify Iraq and Afghanistan combat veterans who are at risk for suicide. So some of those funds are even coming local. I will bring the invitations and the information. I left the one little basic information card that I still had on me. I will bring those to your office. I look forward to having you all join us on our walk October 7th, which will be from 10 to noon, starting and finishing at the Veterans Memorial Coliseum. And I'm just stressed. I'm really not happy. I really was hoping to have that information to present to you. But
no worries. We'll look forward to getting that at a later time. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. So we're not yet at 10 o'clock. Do we have any items pulled from the consent agenda other than item 797?
No other items.
Please call the roll on the consent agenda.
What about 787?
I'm sorry. Hang on. One sec.
Yeah.
That's a time certain.
No, wait a minute. Well, no, 797 is the one. Yes, that's
yeah, okay.
Sorry.
Please call the roll.
Salzman.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The consent agenda is adopted. Commissioner Fritz had requested pulling 797. Could you please read that?
797. Accept and appropriate a grant in the amount of $20,000 from the Oregon Department of Education for expansion of the Summer Free-for-All Lunch Program.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. Colleagues, this is just a simple transcriptionist error that it references the financial year 16-17 budget and should reference the 17-18 budget. So I move that amendment.
You'll second that?
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Aye.
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 Aye. The ordinance is adopted.
That's the amendment.
Oh, I apologize. Thank you very much. Please, any further discussion on the main motion? Please call the roll.
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, colleagues. Aye.
Fish. Wheeler.
Aye. The ordinance is adopted as amended. We have about 5 minutes, so why don't we go to the second readings, please, and get done with those. Item 803, please.
We're digging here. 803. Authorize intergovernmental agreement with Sound Transit for cooperative procurement of modern streetcars.
Any further discussion on item 803? Please call the roll.
Salzman.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The agreement's approved. Please call item 804.
804. Amend contract with TriMet related to development and funding of the Portland streetcar system and shared regional transit goals.
Any further discussion on this item? Please call the roll.
Salzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. Contracts amended. Please call item 805.
805, amend the boundary of Southwest Dolph Court, Spring Garden Street, Local Improvement District to construct additional street, sidewalk, and stormwater improvements 111 feet west on Southwest Spring Garden Street and create a new pending lien record for 3352 Southwest Spring Garden Street.
Any further discussion on this item? Please call the roll.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye.
The ordinance is adopted. Please call item 806.
806, create a local improvement district to construct street, sidewalk, and stormwater improvements in the Northeast 27th Avenue and Holland Street Local Improvement District.
Colleagues, any further discussion on this issue? Please call the roll.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye.
The LID is adopted. Please call item 807.
807, authorize a purchase order with Skeeter Brush Trucks, LLC, for the purchase of three Wildland Brush Trucks for a total not to exceed amount of $700,000.
Colleagues, any further discussion? Seeing none, please call the roll.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye.
The purchase order is accepted. Please call item 808.
And 808 have a request to continue that to July 20th. I'll read it, though. Authorize an intergovernmental agreement with Energy Northwest in the amount of $8 million for the operations and maintenance of Portland Hydroelectric Project.
So we've had a request to continue this to July 8th. Is that a morning session?
It'll be July 20th next week because of our we need four members present.
Very good. So this will be moved to July 20th, and the time will be posted in the appropriate
way. Right, it'll be 2 o'clock.
Okay, at 2 p.m.
Yeah.
Very good. Please call item 809, then we'll go back to the agenda.
Assess property for sidewalk repair for the Portland Bureau of Transportation.
Any further discussion on this? Seeing none, please call the roll.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The ordinance is adopted. We'll now go, looks like we're 10 o'clock on the button. We'll go back to the first time certain item, please, which is 787.
787, create a local improvement district to construct street, sidewalk, and stormwater improvements in the North Suttle Road Local Improvement District.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. If council will recall, we began this process a couple of months ago and had a lively hearing on the idea of creating a local improvement district around the industrial area and heavily used unimproved road, North Suttle Road. In the intervening time, LID Administrator Andrew Abbey has been in close contact with many property owners and has continued to do what he does, which is bring private property owners and public agencies together to solve challenging transportation infrastructure issues. In that work, Andrew has learned quite a bit, and he is here to first of all, we are going to ask that this be set over till August 25th, but we thought we would have Andrew, and we have Bill Ryan and Steve Townsend can give us an update on where we stand right now on that.
Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman. Andrew Abbey, Local Improvement District Administrator, joining me today. To my immediate left is Steve Townsend, the city engineer and the chief engineer of PBOT, and Bill Ryan, the chief engineer of the Bureau of Environmental Services. Just, we do not have a presentation today. As Commissioner Saltzman mentioned, we wanted to continue this item. Just a slight date correction, August 23rd instead of August 25th.
Sorry.
So we wanted to go ahead and do that. I just wanted to give you a brief update that we do have a remonstrance level of 45.5% as reflected in Exhibit G of the ordinance. We have some additional written testimony that's also in Exhibit G. On June 30th, I had a very good conversation with Jim Brown, who represents several of the property owners, and we had a good discussion, and we felt that a good next step would be to for me to attend a property owner meeting with the property owners on August 7th, and then for us to come back on August 23rd and then report out to council what the options are for proceeding from here. I think those, again, were very productive discussions. One of the things that we'll be discussing on August 7th is a pavement study that's been privately commissioned by the property owners, and also the possibility of local infiltration for stormwater. And so I just wanted to give Steve and Bill just a minute or so to just talk about what a pavement study is and the possibilities for infiltration. just on a very conceptual level so that you know what's coming back in August.
So my name is Steve Towns. I'm the chief engineer for transportation, and I'll be joining Andrew at that meeting on August 7th with the property owners. And to give you a quick idea what the pavement design is we'd be doing is one of the things they proposed was 6 inches of asphalt out there. And one of the things that happens is, if you think about it, and I'm going to use this paperclip, I'm going high-tech on you guys today, is that when the buses or a heavy load drives across the road, the bottom of the pavement wants to flex just a little bit if it's not thick enough. If it's thick enough, you could have your hand at the bottom of the asphalt or the concrete. The bus or truck could go over it. Your hand wouldn't feel anything. If it's too thin, when that bus or truck goes over it, that asphalt or concrete wants to flex at the bottom. And if it flexes at the bottom, it starts a crack. And that crack, if it goes from the bottom up, means the pavement wasn't thick enough and it's a rebuild. There's nothing we can do. So we do in our pavement studies is to make sure that when we build the pavement, it's thick enough so that any stresses it feels are only on the surface, so that any repairs we have to do are on the surface, and it keeps the long-term, short-term and long-term maintenance costs to a minimum. And so that's part of what would be going on this project is to make sure that there'd be a pavement study and a pavement design to make sure that what is built out there will last. But it's also they want folks to take a peek at what is out there to see if anything could be reused.
And I am Bill Ryan, Chief Engineer for the Bureau of Environmental Services. Andrew has included in the estimate for the LID what we looked at as being the most probable, most expensive approach to handling stormwater within the area. And that's appropriate until we get out there and we actually have the opportunity to review test results, to look at the presence of contamination in the soil and groundwater, to look at the maybe do additional testing and do some preliminary design work. We won't know whether an infiltration system is affordable or even doable. So, but we will do that work. We will do the necessary work to find the most cost-effective means of managing stormwater within the LID.
And the same thing goes for the pavement. We've made the same thing, conservative assumptions based upon what we have for information in the area, but we do site-specific testing, and that would improve our estimate, so we feel comfortable going forward.
So I think that's all we wanted to share with you today. So we look forward to coming back on August 23rd. It's the 10 a.m. time certain. Happy to answer any additional questions council might have.
Thank you all.
Very good. Any further questions, colleagues? Any public testimony on this item?
That will be taken on August 23rd.
I'm sorry, on the 23rd. Thank you. Very good. Then, without further ado, this is a non-emergency first reading. Moves to second reading. No.